I need to tell you, I'm so sorry. I said a bad word.
Had I not have been putting her to bed last night, I don't think she'd have told me.
Love lilt for some reason. I haven't drunk a bottle since this, actually. As soon as it hit my mouth, I knew what it was.
I'm like, I don't know what he does. I'm like, dry yourself in the shower.
You're going to play golf, or you're going to go and see your mates, or you're going to go up to London.
Yeah, play golf once a month if I'm lucky. Do we put our headphones on?
If you want headphones, you can have them, but you don't need them. It's up to you.
Don't need them. Okay.
Cool. All right, we're rolling.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to the Fun Dad, Dean and Wife Unfiltered Podcast. I'm Dean, and this is where we cut through the BS of parenting. So those who don't know us, know me, it all started back in 2020 on TikTok, making weird videos about parenting, videos my wife.
Yeah, basically it was the start of lockdown and Dean decided to start an Instagram page. So not only was I working from home doing home learning, I had my husband on his phone the whole time. So yeah, that was great.
So yeah, we had our first child, Daisy, and we used to look at social media, especially Instagram, and a lot of the stuff on there was kind of a fake facade of parenting. We used to actually look on there and feel quite down about what we were seeing, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know, I remember you getting quite upset about the content because everyone seemed to have it figured out and our kids were driving us nuts and not sleeping, not eating, not doing anything we wanted them to do. So got to 2020, decided to make a TikTok page originally, making videos, and it's kind of, yeah, gone up from there. Joined Instagram in 2022, and yeah, it's kind of gone from there, isn't it? So now we decided to do a podcast, which
you decided to do a podcast. Yeah, just putting it out there.
I've kind of dragged my wife into it, but pushing past your comfort zone is good, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think definitely the first year or so, Dean was on social media. I refused to be in pictures. I wouldn't be in videos. And then I remember once I decided to pluck up the courage to be in one of Dean's videos. And I'll never forget, somebody commented saying, "I thought that was your mum." And needless to say, I didn't appear in another video for a while because the trolls
out
there.
Felt bad for my mum, to be honest.
Thanks. The trolls out there, I think it's definitely something that, yeah, it took me a very long time. I would not be on Dean's page for a while, but here I am now, got my own page and on a podcast with you, so thanks, babe.
Yeah, so me and my wife have got a code word for when I step out of line, because basically, well, I haven't done it for a while, have I, but when we go out sometimes
no, where this started was is Dean and I used to go out with friends, family, my grandparents, anybody, and he has absolutely zero filter on his mouth. He will say what he thinks, when he thinks, crude, like whatever. And very soon on into our relationship, I was thinking, my God, like I'd be looking at him and he'd just carry on. And you know, like you give them the death stare, and the death stare should be enough for them to shut the fuck up. But no, not him. I'd be giving him the death stare and he'd just be carrying on. So we'd go out on nights out and I'd say to him, right, we're having a co-word. And basically, if I say maracas to Dean, that is, you need to shut up now. Like right now, or I'm going to explode.
But it's not just shut up now. It's you're going to shut up now and then I'm going to tell you about it later. Because it basically means I'm not going to have a go at you now in front of people, but you're going to hear about it later. And when I hear that word, it sends fear down my spine because I know later on I'm in trouble.
Yes, yeah, so I'm hoping that we're not going to have to crack out a maracas today.
How are you feeling about being on social media now?
Mainly really good, actually. I don't necessarily think I wish I did it sooner because I did it at the right time for me, with a lot of nagging from you.
hang on a minute. No, we were, I think it was last July in the caravan, because we spend 6 weeks a year down the caravan. And my wife came up to me and said, "I think I'm going to start a page on Instagram." I was like, "Whoa, where did that come from?" Because I have kind of hinted in the past, say that it might be a good idea, whatever. She said, "I'm going to call it Fun Dad Dean Wife." And to be honest, I tried to talk you out of that name because I was like, why don't you have your sort of own identity? And then, yeah, you started it a couple of months later and you love it. I think you enjoy it more than I do.
I don't know if I put it quite like that because, you know, there are some pretty nasty people out there as well. And surprisingly, a lot of these people that, you know, do send horrible messages are parents. And that's probably what shocks me the most. The fact that there are other people bringing up children, you know, trying to teach their children the right from wrong and how to behave in society. And they are sending messages like just absolutely.
Why don't you read a
trolling.
Couple? Why don't you read a few of yours out? Because I don't know what it is, but a couple of your videos have got a lot of attention and a lot of bad comments. A couple of mine have, which we'll go into in a minute, but one of your early ones, especially about a bath mat, which we were quite shocked about.
Yeah, so basically, when Dean gets out of the shower, the floor always looks like an absolute swimming pool. I'm like, I don't know what he does. I'm like, dry yourself in the shower. But clearly he can't. Anyway, so I just made this jokey video about me getting out of the shower and then I was like drying my feet or whatever. And to be honest with you, I hadn't shaved my legs. So, and it was winter, so I hadn't had a pedicure. So all I was doing with the towel was trying to hide my feet. The point of the video was when Dean gets out of the shower, splash, there's water everywhere. And oh my God, the messages that I got about this bath mat and the way I was drying my feet and the state of my bathroom and they were just insane. So
I mean, the bath mat was a bit harsh, but the bathroom maybe not.
Well, you could always clean it, Dean. So yeah, but I mean, recently I did one about having a day off. So I'd been working full time for about 5 months, which I haven't done in a very long time. And yeah, I did a video about my day off, like, because Dean always comes in and he says to me, oh, how's your day off? And I was thinking, day off? Like, have you seen this kind of stuff I've done today? And it's basically like, you know, that mum life, everything I've done today. And I just made a video about it being like, when is my day off going to be? And yeah, there were some pretty nice comments, weren't there?
Do you want to read some out?
If the mother of my children resorted to moaning on the internet about her life choices, all because I'd asked her to how her day was, I'd take the kids and scarp her. No one needs that headache. So that was really nice. Also, women complain about work and women complain about being at home. That's life. Get over it. Yeah, so
I think your point of the video was basically when I have a day off, it is more of a day off, maybe.
Oh, he's going to play golf. You're going to play golf or you're going to go and see your mates or you're going to go up to London.
Yeah, I play golf once a month if I'm lucky. Yeah, no, I know. I get what you were saying by the video. And I think mums definitely, not all, well, from our point of view, you don't necessarily have a day off when it's your day off, do you? And even at the weekend, we're both off, but having kids is hardly off time, is it?
No, I think everyone's the same, to be fair. You know, it's all that weekend life, gymnastics and swimming lessons and all that jazz. So, yeah, I mean, I think all us mums are very much due a day off in a spa, you know, relaxing would be good. So I suppose my main worry, having now been on social media myself and obviously seeing you on social media, my main worry is just how we're going to cope with our children growing up with that platform, all the different platforms, you know, everything is, you know, it took me a very long time and I'm an adult to even agree to do a page, to agree to be in your videos and put myself out there. And I suppose my worry for the future, like all parents worry, like, you know, what's the right age for them? Should they be on it? You know, should we be monitoring it? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, our eldest Daisy is 9 years old and we're a bit early yet for her to be using social media or even thinking about social media, but she does have a, it's an iPod Touch where she uses it to message family, close friends, gets access to like games like Roblox, stuff like that. But we had an incident where she is quite natural in front of the camera and she would pick up one of our phones and just make these cool videos, especially in lockdown. And she's got quite a way of doing it and it's quite cool. So I was kind of, she asked me to download this app where she can make videos and learn how to edit and stuff. She's only 9, but she weren't going to post it anywhere, as I thought.
Hold on, Can I just stop you there? See, I think this is the mistake that Dean has made. Downloading it at the time, I remember, I was like, absolutely not. She is not having that. And you were so encouraged and like, oh no, it's really good. She can make these videos and be confident on the screen.
Hold on,
like,
hold on. We need to talk about what that is. That is is CapCut. And basically, it's a video editing app that's linked to social media. But at the time, I just thought that she had access to making videos. And she didn't have access to actually publish the videos, but she did have access to what other people were publishing. And what we found out after a while is she was like commenting on, what was she commenting on? Just
so there'd be like transition videos, say a man and wife, say, or a man and woman. They would, do a transition video from in their pajamas to being all dressed up. And then Daisy would comment things like, oh, so are you going to get married? And honestly, when I saw her commenting on these random people's videos, oh, my heart sank. And I just panicked. And I was just like, oh my God, we're the worst parents in the world. I can't believe that we've let her have access to this. And then straight away I was panicking. Has she been uploading her videos? Have people had access to her? And I just deleted it, didn't I? I just completely, just straight away went on the app and just deleted it. And I'm really, really wary. I just don't think that they should have phones or social media. I don't know. I don't know what's right. It's really, really hard.
I think you're much more stricter than I am on it, which is a good thing. I'm worried about it, especially with Instagram, because, you know, even as adults, we compare ourselves to other people. But as kids, especially girls, I think, and I've got girls, so I'll maybe bias towards that. But I think it's really a bad thing for them to get into early. And I've seen other teenagers just sit there on their phones, just scrolling TikTok or Instagram, brain numbing stuff. And also, it's just, I think bad for their...
It's bad for their development, their mental health, everything. And I think the way that, you know, girls in particular, I don't really know about boys because obviously we've got girls, but the way they speak to each other on there and just, you know, you can say something behind somebody's back very easily, but it's much harder to say it to their face. And social media is allowing that platform to just be nasty and not have to deal with the person's, like, face-to-face reaction. Because can you imagine when we were at school, like some of the stories that we tell each other, that stories that, you know, for the now are only with the people that were in the room that it happened to. Like, I know that there are some particularly embarrassing stories from school that maybe both of us have. Imagine them being filmed and then being shared all over social media.
Yeah, I know. Because I was in a maths class when I was... 14 maybe, and I used to always drink a bottle of Lilt. I love Lilt for some reason. I haven't drunk a bottle since this, actually, but I used to love it.
Lilt still a thing?
Yeah, I think it is. Anyway, so it's a green bottle, so you can't actually see the colour of the liquid inside it, right? So I used to have a green blazer at school, and used to put it in my bottle of Lilt in my pocket, and I was sitting there in maths with my blazer on with a bottle of Lilt there, and one of the blokes behind me had taken the bottle out, pissed in it, and put it back in my blazer. And then got out of class, and I thought, I thought I'd finish that, to be honest, because I was only a little bit left. I thought I'd finish that, but I was like quite glad it was like our fault, because thinking I was thirsty. And as soon as it hit my mouth, I knew what it was, but. The point is, could you imagine if that had happened to me? Like, it was bad enough for me then, because I used to be... The incident, drinking his piss, wasn't actually that bad compared to the aftermath of what I was experiencing. Like, everyone used to call me piss drinker. I got known as the piss drinker for, like, a bit.
But imagine, like, that obviously went away after a while.
Yeah, no, if you had it on WhatsApp, or they were filming it and all that on school, that is, yeah, you're getting into different territory at that point, aren't you? And, massive worry. I just hope we send our kids to a school where they're not pissing each other's bottles. That'd be handy.
Well, I think a lot of schools are actually banning mobile phones now, so you have to like give them in on entry or something. I don't know. I need to go and look into that and have a look, but I'm sure that schools are actually banning mobile phones, and I'm all for it. So I'm actually a teacher, and not in secondary, definitely couldn't do secondary. Really not looking forward to the girls becoming teenagers. I'll take the little children any day. But so I'm currently teaching reception, and I'm just dreading that whole social media age, you know, like I'm so used to having little children at home and teaching children in school. So I'm, yeah, not looking forward to it. But
the problem is, we pretty much run our lives off our phone. I mean, and our kids will
see
us on our phone all the, like, I try my, like, if one of my daughters comes up to me, I do try, and they say, daddy, I do try my real, I'm gonna say try my best is the wrong thing, but I do try and say, look, put my phone down and try and give them attention. Not always, if I'm doing something for work or whatever, but I do try and do that. And they see that constantly. And then when we're like, you can't have a phone, it's a bit...
I don't think it's a double standard, though. I didn't have a phone until I was 14.
Not at this age, no. But when they get to like that age where it's debatable whether they should have one, like, because people have got different opinions on it. I did a poll on Instagram a little while ago, and the range of ages that people thought it was okay for people to have a phone was mad. Like, some people were saying 8, and some people would say 16.
Wow.
So there's a massive range of what people's perception of is allowable, really. And I'm a bit in between. I think 16's a bit overkill, if I'm honest, but I think 8 is like, it's too early. But I would say when they go to secondary school and they're getting the bus to school, or they're traveling on their own, whatever, they need something. I would not feel comfortable sending my daughter out without a phone there. Would you?
Oh, no, I suppose not.
I mean, you just want to ban all phones forever for children.
I know. But I mean, I don't know. I definitely think, like, I would like to think that when the girls have friends around our house, or, you know, I would like them to be able to, say, leave their mobile phones at the door and they interact with each other and we'll play games with them, or, you know, make sure the garden's really fun and interactive and that they can go on the trampoline, or I don't know.
Because you are very conscious of it. I've noticed, very conscious of it. Like, we, if we go out with people, you're very conscious of not having iPads. No, like, you'll be, if we go to the pub with our friends, iPad would be kind of last port of call.
Oh, yeah, after dinner. Once they've eaten, once they've been there a while, because I feel like you take the kids to the pub, you play a bit of Uno, you play some cards, you have a little chat, they eat their food. And then, you know, if I want to stay for that extra glass of wine and they're bored, that's me keeping them in an environment where actually they're bored, they're not enjoying themselves, they've reached their limit now. So that's fine, you can watch a bit of, you know.
Whereas sometimes I'm a bit like, oh, we've gone to the pub, it's me. Like, it's, but the pub, I feel like maybe it's me and my wife's time a bit, and I'm a bit like, oh, just do whatever's necessary to keep them occupied so we can have a chat, because we don't really get to chat that much in like normal life, you know, do we really? Well, we do, but like not like massive lengths of time, do we?
I don't know, don't we? I feel like you talk quite a lot, babe.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get over the fact that I told everyone that embarrassing story about me. So have you got any stories you want to share?
I've got loads of embarrassing stories, but luckily enough, they're not all over the internet. But I suppose I'll be counteracting my argument if I randomly tell one now. I mean, I've got one that actually at school, I don't think anyone to this day even knows it was me. But basically, we were all like walking into assembly, and you know, and you all have to like line up in the corridor, and like the whole school is going into assembly. This is at secondary school. So there was like, I don't know, it was maybe like the year group assembly. I remember we were all going in. And you know how if I need to fart, I just have to fart. I can't hold it in. So I thought I'd let one go, and I thought it would be okay, and I thought I'd be safe, but it really wasn't. It absolutely stank. And I was like sweating. I was thinking to myself, oh my God, this is absolutely mortifying. Everyone's going to know it's me. But luckily, what started happening is people started checking their feet, the soles of their feet for dog poo. So everyone's just kind of like checking their feet, thinking, oh, someone's got dog poo in their shoe. So I just joined in and started looking at the sole of my feet, and then just kind of like carried on walking into assembly. And to be fair, as an adult, that's also happened to me in Asda as well. So I remember being in the card aisle in Asda, and on one side it's cards and the other side it's toys. And did it again in there as well. And the people started checking their soles, their feet for dog poo. So I'm guessing the moral of the story is I might need to go and get my bowels checked.
You're not worried about letting rip, though, are you? Let's be honest, especially in front of me.
Oh, thanks, babe.
Because I posted something on social media the other day about couples who don't fart in front of each other. So I think that's quite a weird one that couples wouldn't do that. Because
do you think? I mean, I would make myself very unwell if I didn't.
No. Yeah, it's weird that people don't do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's weird that people don't do it because if I didn't do it, I'd spend all day outside or hiding in the toilet from you because it's like a brass band in our house, isn't it?
For God's sake. See, this is where I get really paranoid and really, I don't know, like putting your life out there on social media. We're like opening ourselves up to get trolled. Like if you're this married couple that has never farted in front of yourself, you're going to think we're absolutely disgusting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but most people, well, you can't cater for everyone on social media, can you? You can't cater for it. That's one thing I've learned about doing social media. You can't cater for everyone. You have your opinions and your life and people will relate to it or they won't. And
yeah, well,
that's what I literally would put one social media post out and I could get, so I put a social media post out about I basically took the mic out of one of my daughter's artwork and it was just like a plate that she'd made and a hole punch that she'd punched a couple of hole punches in with a string hanging off it. And to be honest with you, even for a 4-year-old at the time, there was no effort. It didn't look like any effort whatsoever. So I made a social media post, just taking the piss out of it, lighthearted. And you had some people who found it absolutely hilarious. And you had, I've got a comment here, and he said, your daughter deserves a better dad. So you've got one, you got somebody finding it extremely funny and you got someone just completely, and the worst thing about it wasn't even that comment that was the worst thing about it. It was the fact that it got that.
The worst thing about it was the crap artwork, Dean.
No.
Not enough effort had gone into it.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously. But the worst bit about that comment was that comment alone had 2,373 likes. So it wasn't.
Oh, God.
Yeah. To be fair, one thing you know about social media, once you post a video and it goes to your normal people who follow you, they generally like it because they know your normal stuff. But once it gets pushed out further, you get all kinds of random stuff where people don't really know you. They don't know your banter. They don't know your kind of humor. They don't know anything about you. So they just take the video at face value. And that's when you get bad comments. Because I wouldn't say, if I got bad comments from my, say, followers, I would be like, maybe I fucked up here a bit. Or maybe this is, maybe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? So, yeah.
I think though with the artwork thing, I think a lot of people are the same. I mean, surely, like I am actually a reception teacher. That is what I do. And obviously Ruby, our youngest, was in reception at the time when she brought home what you perceived as an absolute crap bit of, you know, junk that needed to go straight in the bin. But I can see that from a child's perspective, you know, all children have different abilities. And we know from our daughter, we know Ruby, we see what she's capable of. And we knew that she'd put 0% effort into that and it was just crap. But for some children, you know, that might have been a really big achievement and they might have been really proud of themselves. And, you know, some people out there might say, oh, you need to value everything that your child does. But I know you're very much not like that.
No.
Like, it's about the effort behind it and the fact we knew she hadn't put in any effort.
Yeah, it's obviously about the effort about it, 100%. But not every piece of artwork should be put on the fridge just because your daughter done it. I believe that kids need, there's an element of standard, especially when there's effort involved. If your child puts zero effort into something and you reward that just because it's something your child done, I don't know whether that's breeding the correct.
Yeah, but I think as well, there's just a real big disparity in children's abilities as well, you know?
Yeah, it's not all about the result. Obviously, it's not all about the result because some kids that would be great for, but I'm not saying Ruby's a super talented in that kind of aspect, but I know from that there was nothing, no effort gone into it at all.
See, when the children bring artwork home from school, I very much will value it. It will go on the fridge maybe for a week, maybe two, if it's actually something that they've really taken pride in and made an effort in. But deep down inside, most of the stuff, I just can't wait to get it in the bin. I don't have the room in the house. I can't be dealing with the clutter. And I keep a few of the odd bits, like I've got a little box with, you know, a few memories and such from over the years. But at the end of the day, we can't keep everything. I mean, you just can't. I had some people message me once over a video when I'd said about, you know, what do you do with your children's old books, like their maths books, their science books, all these books that the children have and they bring home. Surely you can't keep them all.
No.
Like, And do they want them all? Like, what are you going to do? Oh, your child turns 18 and they move out. Or, well, not 18 anymore, not around here where we live. But, you know, like, when your child finally moves out, do they want these boxes full of books when they're in primary school? I just think no.
From my point of view, from our kids, you just, if they bring back or do something at home that they're quite proud of, as long as you show interest in it, and maybe if it's really good, keep it on the fridge for a couple of minutes.
All right, Dean, that's a bit harsh.
A few days, then they don't care either. They don't. Like, I've never thrown anything away, and Daisy or Ruby have said, oh, gone mad about me doing that. Because they haven't, one thing, I don't do it in front of their face, so they wouldn't see, and they don't even notice, so they're just onto the next thing, aren't they?
Oh yeah, definitely. And they're very creative as well. I feel like they're doing a lot. We definitely couldn't keep anything. I mean, there might be people out there with lofts full of old books and old bits of artwork and stuff, but personally, it's a fire hazard as far as I'm concerned. It's just extra paper that will burn.
So we're kind of, our kids are 5 and 9, so I feel like, for me personally, stress levels are, they're not, it's not easy, is it? But they are down from when they were baby and toddlers. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but I think as well, you have to think about the fact that everyone's scenarios and everyone's case is different. Because I remember with Daisy, I went back to work full time when she was 7 months old. I mean, that just already, to me, lends itself to stress. And we didn't have like a consistent childcare. It wasn't like we had the same nursery or the same person every day. You know, it was my mum, your mum, a nanny. And then I remember sometimes having to like beg family members and, you know, and beg friends to just cover and help when people were off. And I think it depends on the situation, because I know that when I had, you know, I think I had 11 months off with Ruby, it was easier. It was so much easier, because that, you know, working full time and having a newborn is incredibly hard. Well, I found it incredibly hard anyway.
Yeah, so you see it in that way. I see it in the way that I just look back at those early days, and I felt the fact that our kids, have both of them from 0 to 3, didn't get to sleep very easily, and they didn't stay asleep either. If you remember those times, it was incredibly tiring, and we used to every night they'd wake up pretty much multiple times a night. Neither of them have ever eaten well. I would say they obviously eat well, but in the sense that you just give them anything they'll eat. Some kids, you literally just give them anything they'll eat. Our kids are incredibly fussy, and during those early years I found that incredibly difficult, whereas now we kind of know what they like. No, obviously that changes a bit, but you know what I'm saying. It's a lot more.
Yeah, but I think as well, I do think that being a working parent did make some of those aspects harder. For example, with the whole eating thing, I didn't used to get in from work till like 6, half 6. You didn't get used to get in till 6, 7. We weren't eating as a family because it was too late for the kids. So they weren't eating dinner. We weren't eating dinner as a family. And then also the whole sleep thing, like, well, we had work the next day, so we would just let them in our bed. You know, Daisy, we'd let her in our bed because it was just, you know what, we just need to get some sleep. I've got work tomorrow and it might, you know, we need to do that. But then I remember it being a half term, and obviously being a teacher, I got the half terms off. And I remember I was pregnant with Ruby, and I was like, I just can't have Daisy coming in our bed anymore every night, because I don't sleep well anyway, let alone with, you know, a 3-year-old kicking you in the back all night. But, you know, I don't know if you remember, but that half term, the first night, I put her back into her bed and I was like, Mummy loves you. You need to sleep in your bed. Back to bed. 10 minutes later, she was out. She was out. She was out. And I remember that first night, we continued that for hours and I did not give up. I kept putting her back in her bed. And I remember you saying you said it about 5:30 in the morning. You were like, oh, just let her in. Just let her in. And I was like, no, we can't. Like, I've not come this far now to give up. And then I did it the second night and it was slightly less. And I did it the third night and it was slightly less. And I remember by the end of half term, I could not believe it. By the end of half term, she didn't even bother trying to get back into our bed because I'd kept it up and I hadn't given up. And I do wonder what life would have been like had I have done that earlier, because she was 4 at that point.
Yeah, because we, a little while on social media, I posted about sleep. We had some help sleep training with Ruby, and I'm a big advocate of it. I think sleep I think if I went back again, I would get both my kids sleep trained very early on. And this is not the sense that people think, oh, you just let them scream out and leave them on their own. No, there's a controlled way that we were taught how to do it. And that's one thing I would 100% do again if I could, because the lack of sleep in those early years is what makes it everything more difficult. It does, because kids during the day are hard enough anyway, but with no sleep, it just makes it harder. And I would say, so with the Ruby sleep training this time, it's going really well, wasn't it? And I think with Ruby now, we've got her to a point where we can go up, put her to bed, and she does mess around. Like at the first 20 minutes, she's like,
for you.
Yeah, probably for me. but for hang on, Belle. Most nights when Sarah does bedtime, I'll get this little text message, I've had enough. Or I'll be very conscious of it and I'll be like, do you fancy swapping? And I will few. And I will sometimes, because I can get a sense of when it's taking a long time. But back to what I was saying, now we've got to a stage with Ruby where we can do story. She messes around a bit, like doesn't really want to go to bed, but it takes about half an hour, doesn't it, on average now?
Yeah, but that's with reading and story. And to be honest with you, I don't mind that.
I'm not bothered about that now.
I don't mind it. But I actually like it because she opens up to me at bedtime. She chats to me at bedtime. And, you know, we have the cutest
little chat.
Like, it's
a strong word, by the way.
Oh, no. Like, even last night, right? It was the cutest thing, okay? So we're in bed and she's trying to go to sleep and she's like, oh, my tummy hurts. And I was like, you're all right. I was like, do you want to go for a wee? I was like, da da da. Anyway, and she's like, oh, my tummy hurts. And I was like, okay. And I was like, do you want to talk to me about anything? Like, are you okay? And she's like, mummy, I've done something. And I was like, okay. Well, do you want to tell me what it is? And she was like, no. And then she kind of rolls over in the bed, and she'd obviously been thinking about this and it had been brewing, because she said last year I did this, but I knew it wasn't last year. So basically anything that Ruby that's happened in the past, she doesn't understand when the past is. So I think it must have been sometime this week, because it was still very fresh and very new. And she's going to me, mummy, I've done something, and I need to tell you, but I don't want you to be cross. I've done something. And I was thinking, oh God, what's she done? I said, well, you know, if you tell me, I'm not going to be cross, right? Because I do think that if you've said to the child, tell me and I won't be cross, then can't really lose
unless they've literally burnt a house down or something ridiculous. Yeah, if it's something that you'd probably normally tell them off for, if they, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. And anyway, and she said to me, she went, oh, mummy, I feel really bad. I need to tell you. I'm so sorry. I said a bad word. And she's like crying. And I was thinking, oh my God, what has she said? Oh no, poor Ruby, what has she done? Anyway, the story basically goes on, and it took her about 40 minutes in the end to actually admit what she'd done. And she'd said shit in school, basically, and some of the kids
have no idea where she gets that from.
You and I kind of said to her, like, oh well, she went, is it a bad word, is it a really bad word? And I was like, oh well, Ruby, it definitely is something that you shouldn't be saying. And anyway, she was sobbing, she was so upset, and I had to cut her. I was like, oh, don't worry, Ruby, like, it's okay, like, you've told us now, it's okay. She made me this morning go up to the teacher, and she made me tell the teacher what she had done, because she was so nervous about someone else in the class, like, grassing her up first. She just wanted to get out of the way. I had not been putting her to bed last night, I don't think she'd have told me that. If we were the parents that just dumped her in her room and said night-night and then wandered off downstairs, we wouldn't have had that. You know, bedtime for our girls is definitely an opportunity where we chat, where they tell us things.
Yeah, so back to what I was saying before that, I was saying that now that's fine. So with the sleep training, if we just put them in and they went to sleep now, yeah, that's good. But I think now we've got it kind of in the middle ground, where it's taking half hour. It's not going to completely destroy our evening. It's not taking 2 hours that it used to take. Because if you remember back in those early days, with both of them, we've had problems where, I'm telling you now, hours. And especially, I remember when Sarah went out with the girls, or right, she was better at having them on her own back then. But if Sarah went out, I used to be incredibly nervous about, especially Ruby, doing bedtime. Because it used to, sometimes I'd start it at 7 o'clock and she wouldn't be asleep even but 10. And I used to think, Sarah, if I had Sarah there with me, you can kind of rotate, or at least you've got someone to bounce off when it's that bad. But when I was on my own, and you didn't go often, but I just remember those times. You know, it's just like, it was like, she could be up all night here. Like, she's literally, she's actually getting more wired because.
They get overtired. Yeah. That is a thing. Like, you can get overtired.
Oh, you think, talking about that now, the overtired stage used to be so bad. I used to think, like, now that's what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about when I said about on social media about the golden years now. When they're 5 and 9, you don't have to really worry about that too much. They don't get overtired. They're more regulated. Whereas when they're in that toddler baby stage, you've got to go, well, I can't, if we go out for like with our friends, we've got to be back here because otherwise she'll be overtired. Then she won't get to sleep here. You know, when they get to sort of these ages now, you go out with your friends, you just put them to bed an hour later. They don't get overtired. They just go to sleep and they'll just sleep in. And this is what I mean when I'm saying it's a lot less stressful now. It's hard still. It's still the work every day. You still have to do it every day, and you know it's still a grind getting it. You know, but in terms of the actual stress levels of the parents for art, I feel it a lot less.
But also, I think that is a mixture of me now being part time as well. Like I do think that, like, for me, going full time was really, really difficult for us as a family, especially when, you know, I'm leaving the house at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then I'm not getting in some days till 6, half 6, 7. And
yeah, now we're just feeding our kids beans on toast with no food, no money. Much, much easier.
Yeah, but I'd sacrifice the money any day to be part-time and have these times with my kids, because I'm never going to get them back. We're never going to get these years back. And, you know, I'd rather have crap makeup and all my makeup is, you know, non-branded stuff. I'd rather live in the same pair of black leggings that I wear day in, day out, every day. I don't care. You know, like I literally look at, say, a top in New Look and it's like £18 and I'm, oh, I don't know if I can buy myself that. Oh, it's £18. I don't think I can buy myself that, you know. And then, well, book day, how much would you be spending on their costumes the other day?
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I think as a parent, you make sacrifices, and I don't care. I'd rather be part-time, live in the same clothes, you know, not get my hair done, got massive, massive roots. I'd rather do that and have the time with my kids. I'm just not vain enough. No. Just don't care.
No. But, yeah, I've got one pair of jeans I wear pretty much every day.
You wear them. I mean, they've got you wear your jeans until there's a hole in the crotch.
I used to really wear tight jeans, so I used to get holes more often, so I used to replace them more. But now I've gone for a bit of a baggier style, so that I don't get the holes in that area. But I usually literally wear these jeans until I get a hole in them. The trainers, I'll have one pair of trainers, and I'll wear them until the soles are falling off. Or I have one pair of shoes and exactly the same. I do quite like mixing my jumpers and hoodies and that, but I don't buy clothes, do I?
No, but that's what I mean. I think everyone's got their different things that they want to spend money on. And, you know, if we can manage with me being part-time, I would take that any day.
I would love, I don't get me wrong, I love buying a nice top. I understand if people want to spend their money on it, have money for that. That's awesome.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just think as well, I think with the age that we are living in now, and you know, most people do have to work, the cost of living in crisis and everything, we just got to be grateful for all those little, you know, the little small wins, the fact that I can be part-time, because I genuinely worry for the sanity of both of us, and I worry for our children if we were both full-time, because for us the model of our working hours meant that we wouldn't really see them in the week.
And also, if you might need to go back full time because of the cost of food. It's fruit.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
I can't get my head around it. I honestly can't. I go into, we've probably doesn't help, but we've got Marks and Spencer's garage right by our house. So I usually take like I go for a walk there every day, pretty much, just to get a nice 20, it's 10 minute there and 10 minute back. So it's a perfect 20 minute walk. No one really misses me. But every time I go in there, we buy fruit, don't we?
Yeah.
And it's literally blueberries, £3-4, strawberries the same. I've gone in there, you spend £12 on fruit, and then you give it, because you Our kids won't touch. I know people say to me, "Oh, give them an apple," but our kids won't touch an apple, will they? It's
no. Sometimes if I cut it up and cut the skin off, they might eat an apple.
At least if we give them like a blueberry or a raspberry or a strawberry, and they will eat that at home. But our little Ruby's got into the stage where she won't have a raspberry or a strawberry without extra sugar on it. And I don't know where she's got that from, because yeah. I didn't start that off.
It wasn't me.
Somebody, I think unbeknown to us, has given her a fruit, put sugar on it, and now there's no going back. Because I remember when I was a kid, I didn't think you could have strawberries without sugar.
Oh my God. It was you then. Must be
no,
you.
No, because I back in the day, people weren't as health conscious as they are now. Like I used to, when I was a kid, I used to think sausage, egg and chips sausage, mash and chips was like a healthy, no, sausage, mash and beans was like a healthy dinner.
So do you see now why though? So there's this thing that Dean really does, and it really annoys me. I don't know if you have this at home, but I have this at home. So I'll like go to Asda, because you know, don't shop in Marks all the time. So I'll go to Asda and I'll buy all the fruit for the kids. And our kids are basically, because they're so fussy eaters, they're packed lunch, right? And I'll get in and Dean is sitting there on the sofa eating a whole punnet of blueberries. And honestly, I get really irrationally annoyed. I'm like, babe, that's for the kids.
My way of thinking is if I'm healthier, I'm happier, i.e. blueberries will make me healthier, they'll make me happier, then we will in the end hopefully earn more money because I will be more on it. If I'm sitting at home eating bad food, then you know what I'm trying to say?
I know what you're trying to say, but I just can't be bothered to go back to Asda to get more fruit. So I'm really conscious. I love strawberries. I love fruit. But if it's in the fridge, in my head, I'm like, it's for the kids. And I probably shouldn't do that. It's probably why, you know, I am the size I am. But I just will always, if there's fruit in the fridge and the kids like it, I will avoid it and I'll go and have something else. Because in my head, I'm like, it's for the kids.
And it does annoy me as well, like people who... Because we've done a couple of posts about kind of chicken dippers and that. Our kids, I know on a Monday afternoon, I pick the kids up. I work from home on a Monday afternoon. So we just done that in lockdown, and there's no point in getting childcare for a couple of hours. So I've carried on with that. And my go-to meal is chicken dippers, chips and broccoli. And I know both of them are going to demolish that. Absolutely demolish that. So... And they've got some broccoli in there, chips and chicken dippers. Okay, they're not the healthiest food, but it's fairly affordable and we know they're going to eat it.
I just think do what works for your family. Do what works. If they're going to eat it, let them eat it. I'm sorry, but I try my best to make them healthy, and they do eat fruit and they do eat veg. But some days, if it's a load of crap, it's a load of crap. It's fine.
I get very conscious, though, if we're constantly feeding them crap. Like I got home last night... got home last night and you were like, oh, Ruby's had 3 bags of crisps today. And I was like, you were like...
they were baked. They were Walker's baked crisps.
Look, our kids are probably either marginally... would you say underweight or marginally just normal for their age? Kind of.
Daisy's slightly under, but Ruby's fine.
Yeah, so we're always quite conscious about their... Because they don't... They're quite fussy eaters, very fussy eaters. We're quite conscious of getting them to eat, aren't we? And I think sometimes... We'll just overcompensate with calorific foods just to make sure eaten.
I think this is where, like, the teacher in me now, I've been teaching for 14 years and I've come across, obviously in that time, hundreds, if not thousands of different children. And, you know, no two children I've ever encountered are the same. And I've seen fussy eaters. I've seen children that eat really well. And I think that, you know, I just think as long as they're eating, they're getting calories, they're getting the nutrients that they need, and it's a semi-balanced diet, you know, they will eat. And yeah. I think I've just got to keep that in the back of my mind.
I think this is where social media can be good and bad. There's so much information on social media, especially around diet and kids' diet and all this kind of stuff. Don't name any names, but there's some people that polarise you so much, that make you feel so bad about giving your kid a chicken nugget. And as if, like, if you're taking years off their life because you've given them a fish finger or whatever. And this is the problem with today's society. There's so much people trying to get your attention on social media that they just give you polarized information to get it. And it does work. Don't get me wrong, it does work. And it scaremongers people. But I feel like it's giving parents and people in general.
Don't eat this. This is shit. Why are you feeding your kids this? This is shit. Oh, well, have you tasted it? It tastes really fucking nice.
This, yeah.
Let me have the donut.
Well, there's plenty. There's lots of. I think this is the problem. You just need. Yeah, this is the problem. This is the problem with a bit of social media. That back in the day, parents would. They would kind of know what's health. They would look. My mum and dad didn't. They knew what was healthy. They knew fruit and veg and all this was healthy. Obviously, didn't they? Don't you? You not think your mum and dad thought that?
Absolutely. Get your five a day. Yeah.
They all knew that information, yeah. And yeah, we're all trying to make each other health. We're trying to make everyone healthier. But there's so much information out there that just scares parents and scares
Babes,
people.
I was brought up on turkey Twizzlers. I'm pretty sure they're banned now. Are they banned?
Yeah, I would. Well. I mean, your dad likes pie in a tin, doesn't he?
Oh, he loves a pie in a tin. Oh, yeah. Loves a pie in a tin. I used to think that was normal when I was a kid. And then I kind of like grew up and I think I met you and you saw my dad have a pie in a tin and you were like,
I looked at it and I was like, no. But my dad wasn't the help. But my dad, he used to love liver, bacon, chips. Oh, when I used to get home and he was cooking that liver, I'd be like, oh, no. I've been
No, I'm not being funny. Like, what are we now? I'm 36.
37,
nearly 38. And I grew up on turkey Twizzlers. Do you remember fries to go? And you used to put them in the little pack and you put them in the microwave, like the little fries to go.
Yeah, we had them.
Or microchips as well. Like, yeah. I grew up on absolute crap. Sponge puddings in a tin, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm still, you know.
Still here.
Yeah. And I'd say my kids are healthier than that. So I'm like, it's fine.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and yeah, exactly.
Right, well, just so you know, Dean, this entire podcast, because obviously Dean is Dean and he is not the mental load parent, which I'm not going to bring up now because I know that's a very touchy subject with Dean being the mental load. But Dean has actually booked this recording and I have to pick the kids up. We are in London and I have to pick the kids up in an hour and 20 minutes. So I'm trying to put my head in the game for this, our very first podcast session. But all I can think about is getting the train back to go and pick the kids up on time. So I'm going to love you and leave you. Yeah, thanks
for
listening.
Yeah.
Very, very first time giving it a go. Not going to lie, I was particularly nervous about this because I do feel like as a teacher, I've always wanted to steer well clear of everything Dean does on social media because I don't want to get judged by the parents or, you know, senior leaders at my school or anybody like that. But I've decided now that I'm going to be really brave and I'm not just a teacher. I'm also a parent and I'm a wife and just wanted to share the journey because so many of you have been so lovely, like chatting to us and just being real. No more of this fake shit putting on Instagram that, oh, my kids sleep 7 till 7 and they eat everything and they're just so perfect.
Well, some do.
Some might do. You very well might do. But our kids aren't perfect. And if your kids aren't perfect, then, you know, we're the parents for you.
So we're going to try and bring out a new episode every 2 weeks. Originally, it was a month, but I was like, no. We need to do more than that. So every 2 weeks, aren't we, babe?
Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Thank you for listening.